It's time to play like a Jet with your host, Scott Mason.
Play like a Jet. What does that mean?
Garrett Wilson. Wow! What a catch! Touchdown, Jets! That kid's amazing. Gibson on the return. Near side. I don't see any flags. Gibson inside the 30. Hits the Jets. And he's going to go! Jets win it! Touchdown, rookie Xavier Gibson. Game over.
Allen has time. Intercepted. Sauce Gardner's got it, Allen. Tripped up. He could not get past Jermaine Johnson. Oh, look at the speed of Breece Hall. He's done it again. Breece lightning. 62 yards for the touchdown.
And he's sacked again by Quinnen Williams. What a beast. Number 95 for the Jets.
Listen. Thank you.
This is Play Like a Jet. My name is Scott Mason. You can follow me on Twitter at PlayLikeJet1. And it is time for NFL Draft News and Notes. Final edition with our buddy Walter Cherepinski of WalterFootball.com before the NFL Draft next week. Walt has so much going on. I'm glad he was able to take a little bit of time out of his busy schedule to join me one last time before the draft. Walt, thanks so much for coming on. We won't do a show next week. I'll have other guests on, and then you'll come back the week after, and we'll talk about your thoughts on what the Jets actually did. But I'm glad to have you one last time before the draft.
I'm glad to be on. Thanks for having me again. It's going to be a lot of fun to talk more draft. And yeah, I mean, you're definitely right. There's a lot going on. I'm so exhausted. In fact, I fell asleep trying to update my mock draft last night. I'm just so tired. And it doesn't help that I have two kids under 2.5 at home. So. Yeah, we're going to try to get everything done. This is like the most frantic pre-draft process I've been a part of because I've never had two kids under two or never had two kids. So try to take care of them and do mock drafts at the same time. It's pretty difficult, but we're going to get it done. I'm pretty confident.
Walt, I'm going to start calling you New York City because much like New York City, you never sleep.
Yeah, 4 hours. I haven't gotten more than 4.5 hours of sleep in a very long time. Say that I think since my daughter was born, actually I maybe got 5 hours one night, but that was great rest period for me.
You are a sleep camel, my friend. I'm not sure how you do it, but somehow you do and run the best draft site in the business even on 4 hours of sleep. Incredible stuff. I'm sure it helps to have Charlie Campbell, who is the gold standard of NFL draft reporters. He had a really interesting tidbit up at WalterFootball.com about the Raiders. And you may be thinking to yourself, Scott, what does it matter about the Raiders? Well, it matters a lot because they're sitting at 13. They may be looking at a quarterback who's not one of the top four guys that you've been hearing about. And in order to get him, they may need to trade up either with the Jets or ahead of the Jets, which means that the Jets could potentially have a team willing to trade up with them and give them extra picks to help make up for that second rounder they don't have from the Aaron Rodgers trade. Or it could mean the Raiders trade into the top 10, draft a quarterback, thus pushing a player down to number 10 that might not have been available otherwise. Walt, talk about what's going on with the Raiders and what Charlie reported over at WalterFootball.com.
Yeah, I mean, you're totally right. I mean, every quarterback who goes in the top 9 is just one better player who falls to the Jets. And if the Jets have a ton of options, the players they like at 10, they can move down a few spots and get one of those players. So I think it's important for the Jets to know that these teams are interested in moving up for a quarterback. And that applies to the Raiders, who, as Charlie reported, are very much into Michael Penix Jr. Sounds like he's a big option at number 13. In fact, it sounds like Antonio Pierce, the head coach of the Raiders, wants to even trade up for Penix. I don't know if that's going to happen. There is some conflict at the team headquarters because the GM, Tom Telesco, is more pushing for an offensive lineman, specifically a tackle, or a cornerback. If they go corner, it sounds like it's going to be Quinnion Mitchell. So we'll see what the Raiders do. But Penix is absolutely in play at 13 and maybe even earlier, so, which would be great for the Jets. But yeah, either way, sounds like the Raiders are going to go either Michael Penix or a tackle or a quarterback.
Walt, there's a lot of buzz going on around the quarterbacks. Last week, we talked about what's happening with the Patriots. New reports are surfacing. There are some in the Patriots building that apparently prefer Jaden Daniels. some that prefer Drake May. And then we can also talk about the fact that they just met with the aforementioned Michael Penix Jr. So maybe they're considering moving out of the spot, taking a really good trade down offer and taking Michael Penix instead of either Drake May or Jaden Daniels. And then there's Washington. And I thought this was interesting. You're a gambling guy, Walt, so you would understand the significance of this and you can speak to it. Jaden Daniels' odds of going number two completely changed from yesterday to today. It's wild how much the odds swung in one day. What's going on there?
It really depends. Sometimes the odds move if there's a huge bet placed on one of the teams or one of the players in this prop. Here, obviously, it would be Drake May. It could be information-based. You know, someone may have leaked something and the sports books caught wind of it and they changed the odds, because I was looking at the odds last night and they were -1320 for Jaden Daniels, and now he and Drake May are both -115. So it sounds like the sports books are more confident that that Drake May will go number two, or it, at the very least, it sounds like the sports books are confident that the public thinks that the Washington's going to go Drake May at two. It doesn't necessarily mean that Drake May is going to go two, that the odds have changed. I'll reference the 2020 election for you. Joe Biden was the favorite entering the election, but when Donald Trump won Florida, Donald Trump became the favorite. And, you know, obviously the Biden prop paid out. You actually could have gotten plus money on both. So it doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to happen that way. It just means that either someone bet it heavily or they got info from someone. But I really don't know if Washington has come to a decision, really. There's some debate within the organization, whether, like, some people like Daniels, some people like May, and it sounds like the owner even likes McCarthy. So it's kind of like a three-way discussion there. I will say this, though. You mentioned the Patriots. If Jaden Daniels falls to the number three, he will be the pick. Charlie Campbell reported that the Patriots love Jaden Daniels, so they're really hoping that Washington pulls the trigger on May or McCarthy. But yeah, if the Patriots can get Daniels, they'll definitely pull the trigger.
There's even reports circulating that if Jaden Daniels goes number two and the Patriots don't trade out, that there are some people that even prefer J.J. McCarthy over Drake May within the Patriots organization. So who knows? You know, Walt, better than anybody. It's smokescreen season right now. Reports about the Cardinals at number four as well, that they may be looking to move out. And if that happens, you have to assume that somebody would be looking to move up to number four to get a quarterback. My money would be on the Vikings, but the Jokers are wild here. There's reports, too, about Sean Payton potentially trying to move up. We already talked about the Raiders, so who knows? There's a lot of possible things in play here at number four if Arizona decides to move out of that spot.
Yeah, and again, it would be great for the Jets, because any quarterback who goes in the top nine is going to push down a good player. So suddenly, you know, the top receivers who once upon a time were expected to go four and five, now suddenly they may go five and six, which would push Odunze and Brock Bowers for sure to 10. And so it sounds like the Jets would at least get one of them for sure. Or maybe Joe Alt, who knows. I think four quarterbacks going in the top 10 would automatically lock one of those guys in at number 10 for the Jets. So yeah, that'd be great news. But yeah, it really depends on who wants to move up. Minnesota acquired Houston's pick, so I think they're the favorite to trade up because they have the most ammo of all the teams that would want to trade up. But like you said, Denver is kind of desperate for a quarterback. I think Denver might have the worst roster in the NFL. Just like I was looking at the roster earlier today on my show, and I was talking about, like, oh, let's see who I would keep on Denver's roster if I had a fire sale, and I couldn't name three guys I would keep on that team. They're so starved for talent. But they have no quarterback. They have Jarrett Stidham and Ben DiNucci, and they can't sell their fans on that entering the season. Like, the Raiders can at least sell their fans on Gardner Minshew and Aiden O'Connell, because Minshew's a good backup and Aiden O'Connell is some unknown factor with him. He played well at times last year. He did have some bad games, but he had some bright moments as well, and he's still young. But Denver can't sell any fans on Stidham and DiNucci. So, plus Sean Payton, it feels like, I don't know, it feels like he almost has like one foot out the door for retirement again. If he can't get a good quarterback, I think he might call it quits. So I think Denver is certainly in play for moving up. We talked about the Raiders. The Raiders could move up to four. You can't count them out. And I think Seattle's the wild card. The Seahawks, I don't think we'll take a quarterback, but they've brought in a lot of quarterbacks for top 30 visits. And plus, don't forget the Giants. The Giants are drafted six, but you know, if they don't think Daniel Jones is the answer, and if they don't, I don't blame them, they could go from six to four as well.
Let's talk about the Giants, Walt, because Joe Shane, their general manager, spoke today, and he said he's shocked at how many phone calls he's got for the number six pick. That's a lie, obviously. This is poker season. Joe Shane's doing what he's supposed to do and trying to entice people to call him and make the best possible offer by making it seem that every team in the league has been calling him. I'm sure he has been getting plenty of calls. Don't get me wrong. That is a valuable spot to pick because you might be able to get one of the quarterbacks or one of the top wide receivers or offensive linemen. So certainly teams would be interested in inquiring about what it would take to get up there. But let's also remember Joe Shane is the guy that leaked the report that was picked up by a bunch of people, including Todd McShay, that the Giants had taken Kayvon Thibodeau off of their draft board in 2022 because he had a disastrous interview. And as we both know, that was not true because the Giants picked Kayvon Thibodeau at number five in that draft. So Joe Shane doing some smoke screening here. I don't think they're going to take a quarterback. I do think they're trying to put out information that would indicate to other teams they're at least considering it. I think the Giants would probably take a pass catcher if they stayed at six. But my hunch is, and if you read the tea leaves, it seems this way, the Giants are looking to entice somebody to trade up into that spot.
Yeah, when I saw that report from Shane, I almost retweeted the meme from the Office where Jim Halpert is like, sure, if you say so. it was almost certain that like no one is calling him for that pick. Now I'm sure maybe there's some interest, but usually when teams want to trade, it's to trade down. If a lot of teams were willing to trade up for players, you would have so many trades in the NFL draft. It's just like teams would rather move down to pick up more resources than trade up. Now that the obvious exceptions are quarterback for sure. And I don't, like I said, the Giants could move from six to four. I just don't think it would make sense, for them. But it's not out of the realm of possibility because Daniel Jones really struggled last year and he's coming off a torn ACL. But the Giants, like Denver, the Giants have a dreadful roster. Like just look at like all the holes that they have. They can't block. They have no number one receiver. They have no number two receiver for that matter. They might not have a tight end because Darren Waller's retiring. They lost Saquon Barkley. Their defense sucks too. So, what do they have? They have some decent players in the front seven, but that's it. So they need a lot. And so it's not surprising that Shane wants to talk teams into trading up, into number six because I'm sure he's really desperate to trade out because they have so many holes to fill that they need as many resources as possible.
Play like a Jet. Play like a Jet.
Walt, let's do some stock up, stock down. We'll start with Jackson Powers Johnson, the center from the University of Oregon. I've maintained all along that the sweet spot for him is probably back end of the first round, early part of the second round. Your guy, Charlie Campbell, over at walterfootball.com has indicated that teams seem to be in that boat now when it comes to Jackson Powers Johnson. I feel like there's a chance he ends up being like Tyler Linderbaum here, where one of the better teams in the league snags him at the end of round one.
Yeah, usually the sharper teams draft these centers at the end of round one. Like I said, Linderbaum to Baltimore, like, the Ravens are a smart team, and they'll usually make a great pick like that. I think Jackson Powers Johnson might be the same. I could see him going to the Steelers. The Steelers really need a center. And this stock up is more to do with media overreaction than anything else because there were some reports on ESPN that Jackson Powers Johnson was overrated. But team sources told Charlie that they did not agree with those projections that they have Jackson Powers Johnson rated favorably. So I would still expect him to go in the first round.
Another guy who is listed in the stock up category, Keon Coleman. Here's somebody that at one point people were legitimately talking about as being in the running to be wide receiver three in this draft. This was early in the draft process. Everybody expected that it would be Harrison and Neighbors, but people were talking about Coleman in the mix with somebody like Roma Dunze. That talk has withered away. But it feels like a lot of people have now pushed him down into like the third round area. it's possible that there are teams that see him in the first round still. I like Keon Coleman a lot. I think he could be a very productive NFL wide receiver. Big body, uses his leverage properly. He's not a speed demon or anything like that, but he's the type of guy that can just go up and get it and make plays. So I think a team would be smart to grab him either at the end of round one or sometime in round two, because I think they'd be potentially getting a real bargain.
Yeah, so I think his stock fell because he ran a slow 40. And I think that's why you see him go in the third round, is the overreaction to that. And, you know, so I think teams were disappointed with this 40 times, but it sounds like they've kind of done some reevaluating. And I think they believe that Keon Coleman is going to be a good prospect despite the slow 40 time. Charlie Campbell wrote that he talked to some teams drafting late in the first, early in the second, that have Keon Coleman on their radar. I'm pretty sure I know who one of those teams is. And it wouldn't surprise me at all if Keon Coleman ends up going late first. Not late first, then at least early second. So he's being compared favorably. I heard like Michael Pittman Jr. comps to him. So yes, despite the slow 40, I think that he could go much earlier than expected.
Walt, Cooper DeJean from Iowa, the cornerback, another guy listed in the stock up category. A lot of buzz right now that he could be in play for the Philadelphia Eagles in round one.
Yeah, so this is the opposite of Keon Coleman, where Keon Coleman was not a great workout warrior. Cooper DeJean is definitely so. He tested much better than anticipated. Not only that, but he drew rave reviews for his character, and just like he really excelled in interviews. So I think some coaches really fell in love with him. So whereas like maybe a month ago, he was like kind of fringe first round, like maybe falls to the second. I think that it sounds like he's almost a lock to go in the first round.
Stock down. This hurts, Walt. As a Texas fan, I don't like to see this, but I knew about it, and now it's starting to come out, and the recent DWI is just making it worse. It's amazing to me that guys can do something like that when their livelihood is on the line, when all you have to do is behave for a couple of months, and you're looking potentially at millions of dollars. To make a reckless move like getting behind the wheel of the car while intoxicated is crazy to me. It's crazy to me in general, but it's especially crazy when there's so much on the line. Tavondre Sweat, the outstanding interior defensive lineman for the University of Texas, between the DWI and all the other stuff that he's done, which he admitted to in interviews, he said it was a thing of the past, all the partying. He's known for that, bad reputation, but clearly it's not in the past. And this proves it. I'll be honest, Walt, for as talented as Tavondre Sweat is, and as much as I enjoyed watching him at the University of Texas, if I'm a general manager for an NFL team, seeing what we've just seen with guys like Henry Ruggs and Rashee Rice, I think Tavondre Sweat would probably be off my draft board entirely.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if some teams remove them entirely. I could see that. Some teams are okay with character concerns. We've seen that in the past. You know, Cincinnati's pretty infamous for drafting players with character issues. And, you know, it's worked out for them sometimes. You know, I think that, like, once you get further down each round, at some point, you know, you have to look at like, the upside versus the risk. And, you know, if you're seeing Sweat fall to round three or round four, you're like, okay, what's the risk here? Like, who are we going to draft instead who's going to be great? Like, you know, at some point, you just have to go with the talent and kind of have to hope that he can turn his life around. But yeah, I mean, his stock is down because of the DWI arrest. Also, you know, he is a poor work ethic reported. He's a big partier, like you said. So yeah, he's definitely going to see his stock plummet. I still think he'll be drafted. Like I said, some teams don't care as much about the character stuff, but you're right. Some teams are going to just not concern him at all.
One thing I've wondered about with Michael Penix Jr., Walt, is he had such a great supporting cast around him at the University of Washington, and he's not a guy that uses his legs that much. Now, he did time out with a fairly fast 40 time and moved well during his pro day, but if you watch him, he's really a classic pocket passer. That's what he does. He's sort of like Geno Smith. He can use his legs a little bit when he needs to, but he really doesn't do it very often. And so when you look at what Penix was surrounded by with Jalen Polk, with Roma Dunze, with Jalen McMillan, and then with two of the best tackles in the country in Troy Fautanu And Roger Rosengarten, you wonder if he's not surrounded by that type of talent, how good is he going to be? You also wonder how good is that talent that was surrounding him in college going to be in the NFL? We talked about all these other guys. Let's talk about Roger Rosengarten. Troy Fontanu came in for a top 30 visit with the New York Jets, but Rosengarten's a guy that a lot of Jets fans have talked about because he's somebody that might be available at number 72 if the Jets don't pick up a second round pick. So Jets fans are thinking, well, if the Jets maybe go pass catcher at number 10, perhaps they could get Rosengarten at 72, but it appears a lot of people in the league are souring on him.
I think that I've seen him in the first round of some mock drafts, and it sounds like that's an incorrect evaluation. Charlie wrote that Rosengarten should be a second-round pick at best. Maybe he could slide into the mid-rounds, and the concern with him is the lack of strength, which you never want to hear from an offensive lineman. I can only think of one example of like all my years of like evaluating the draft where I hear like, oh, an offensive lineman is not strong. He just, you know, and then he eventually pans out. It was Connor Williams. He got off to a slow start too with the Cowboys, but eventually he became a really good offensive lineman. But he's had injury issues as well, so you can't ignore that. Rosengarten has that problem, and it sounds like teams are worried about his lack of strength. So that's something he could improve for sure, but teams are kind of wary that his upside might be capped because of that.
Well, last guy that we can mention in the stock down category, Andrew Phillips, the cornerback from Kentucky.
Okay, so yeah, Andrew Phillips is he's taken a lot of pre-draft visits, and so there's been some reporting that he could go second round. Seen that some mock drafts, but it sounds like teams have him in the mid rounds, even though he's taken a lot of pre-draft visits. So usually, players who take a lot of pre-draft visits, that might indicate a lot of interest, but it sounds like from what Charlie heard that Phillips hasn't garnered that much interest on day two. So it sounds like he's going to be a day three pick.
Well, last order of business, the mock draft. You've got one up. Charlie's got one up at WalterFootball.com. You both have the Jets taking Brock Bowers at number 10. Play through what you have right now as the top 10 in your mock draft. Also, you flipped your pick from last week. Last week, it was Roma Dunze, the wide receiver from Washington. Now it's Bowers. Talk me through what you've got for the top 10 and why you have the Jets taking Bowers right now.
All right, so number one, Caleb Williams. He's the pick unless he falls down the stairs or is abducted by aliens. Number two is, I believe it's still going to be Jaden Daniels. But like I said, the pick could still be up in the air. It could be another quarterback, but it will be a quarterback. Number three, the Patriots going Drake May. I believe they're going to be taking a quarterback as well. I don't think they're going to trade out. Number four, I have Minnesota trading up with Arizona to go J.J. McCarthy. I usually don't like to project trades in my mock drafts because, you know, predicting the players is tough enough to begin with. And you're going to add trades to the mix. Kind of seems silly to project trades. But we know that Minnesota is trying to trade up because they acquired Houston's pick. They really need a quarterback. Sam Darnold is their starter right now, and that's almost as bad as Denver's situation. So they have to move up. I think they're going to try to do that, and Arizona wants to move down. So it's a perfect match. So Minnesota taking McCarthy number four. The Chargers get Marvin Harrison Jr. at number five. You know, kind of have to wonder if Jim Harbaugh kind of looked at envy, got envious of Harrison playing against him. Every year, you know, he's seen Harrison each season, and Harrison would always have a big game against Michigan. So this is his chance to replace Keenan Allen and Mike Williams, get Marvin Harrison Jr. Number six, I have the Giants drafting Malik Nabers. So the Giants, like I said earlier, they don't have a number one or a number two receiver, so they definitely need a wide out. Number seven, Tennessee getting Joe Alt. I think this is the chalkiest pick in the top 10. And it makes so much sense. The Titans don't have a left tackle, and Joe Alt is the best left tackle in this class. Number eight, Dallas Turner to the Falcons. I think this is chalky as well, but I feel like Atlanta would try to move down, and like they still might be able to get Dallas Turner at like 11 or 12 potentially. Number nine, I have the Bears getting Jarrett Burst with kind of like an asterisk. So I don't like to predict trades, as I said, but I think the Bears want to move down because they currently only have four picks in the draft. They don't have a second round pick. So I think that they could move down into the teens and get Jared Verse somewhere there. And I think that's he's more suited to go in the teens. And then we go with the Jets at 10. So in my mock draft, I have both Roma Dunze and Brock Bowers available. However, I believe that Arizona, after trading down from 4 to 11, I think they're going to try to move up into the top 10. I think from 4 to 11 to 5, or 4 and to get Neighbors, because they love Neighbors, or 4 to 11 to 8 to get Odunze. I think that's what happens. I think Arizona comes out of this draft with a 2025 first-round pick moving down, and I think that they trade one of the picks they acquire, maybe number 23 this year that they get from Minnesota, and then maybe like a second rounder next year or something like that. I think they give that up and then get the receiver that they want because they need a receiver. So like my point is that I think that there's a much better chance that Brock Bowers is available than Roma Dunze. Now, like I said, they could both be here, but I think that Bowers is more likely. So that's why I have the Jets taking Brock Bowers at 10.
Walter Cherepinski, owner and founder of WalterFootball.com. Thanks so much for coming on and talking through the latest draft news and notes with me. Really appreciate it. Boy, is there a lot to look at right now at WalterFootball.com, right? So much draft material.
Yeah, we have a ton for the draft. We have updated draft rumors. We have updated draft visits. Those are updated multiple times per day. We're going to have updated mock drafts every single day next week. Both Charlie and I updated 2024 and 2025 mock drafts. We have prospect rankings, we have big boards, stock reports, everything you want for the draft. But we also have NBA and golf picks. 2 weeks ago, we hit Akshay Bhatia at 68-1. Then last week, we hit Scottie Scheffler plus 480 at the Masters. So looking for three in a row this week. So all that content is free at WalterFootball.com. So check us out. Also, Walter Football After Dark on YouTube. We have a show 4 nights a week. So lots of football talk and lots of other crazy talk as well. So thanks for having me on, Scott.
Walt, always a pleasure having you on. Looking forward to doing it again after the draft. And I'm waiting for my next invite for Walter Football After Dark. You haven't asked me to come on and talk about the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles arcade game in a while. So anytime you want me to come on, you let me know. Happy to talk about it. And of course, football and anything else you want. Make sure you listen to Walt on Walter Football After Dark. Check out WalterFootball.com. Check out everything we've got up at PlayLikeAJet.com. We've also got new videos up on the Play Like a Jet YouTube channel, youtube.com/PlayLikeAJet. There's one on Brock Bowers, one on Roma Dunze. More is coming as well. And make sure you give us a 5-star review for the podcast on iTunes if you haven't done that already. Easy way to help out the show if you like what we're doing. It doesn't take you much time, doesn't cost you any money, but it goes a long way to help us out. So if you could go ahead and do that for us, we'd be quite grateful. And for the latest and greatest New York Jets podcasts and content, you know where to go. That's Play Like a Jet Digital and PlayLikeAJet.com.